Sports Beat Extra.
Karen Duggan, thank you so much for joining me. I mean, the question that you've been asked probably a million times since it's happened, but how are you feeling after the final game of the season, after it's all wrapped up and done now?
Yeah, I feel fine. I think towards the end of any season, you're kind of ready for it to end and ready to have a break. Obviously, this one feels a little bit different, knowing that I won't have to go back into a pre-season. I probably don't need to go as hell for leather on the socializing of the rest of my life to do it, but I was probably more emotional in the lead up to it, kind of thinking about it being the last time you'll ever put on a pair of shin guards, weird things like that. But no, I'm okay with it. I kind of made peace with my decision a long time ago, probably a couple of years ago. This was always kind of the plan to step away at this point. So yeah, I'm happy with it. I'm looking forward to a little bit of extra free time, and obviously I'll always be P-Man's number one fan, so I'm not going to disappear from them. I'll always have an affinity to them, and I'm very grateful to have been part of the setup there for so many years. But yeah, it might be weird now when the season starts, and I'm looking from the outside in. But for now, yeah, all good.
It does bring to an end a near 15-year career, like, that spans across two obvious spells at P-Mount and then UCD Waves. Like, when you look back at when you first lined out in 2011, how different is it walking out for the first time with a team like P-Mount and from when you walk out with them for the last time?
Yeah, I didn't really know what to expect at the start, because I was obviously coming up from Pilltown. I kind of played local league the whole way up, underage and stuff. And then I didn't really have a team. And I know P-Mount called, and I was kind of like, oh God, that's a bit far away. But then my friend Julianne Russell, who played for P-Mount at the start, and obviously she's a household name now, she was going, and I kind of just followed her. We were in college together. And it was great. It was just a better standard, all around. I was playing with the top players from that time, and the league was different then as well. There was a lot more internationals within the league. There wasn't as many players going abroad to play professional, so the standard was really, really high, and I was very grateful to get the opportunity, even though I nearly passed it up. So yeah, I'm so grateful that Eileen Gleeson gave me that call at the time, and that I was able to have a long career after that, because that's what kind of springboarded it all. And then I don't know what the difference is walking out now. I'd love to say that there was a huge amount of difference from the first time to the last time, and that the league has gone from strength to strength. It has in many ways, but in many ways we're still behind. We've now become a feeder league, to professionalism, and that's okay if that's what we are. But I think we need to be careful of that with the long-term view of development of players in this country as well.
Did you talk to Julianne at all before, obviously, that decision to retire? I know you'd been talking about it for a while, that it was something you'd planned down the pipeline, but did Julianne give you any sort of words of wisdom coming up to
No, I wouldn't ask her, because she'd be telling me to do something like run a marathon or whatever else she does.
that?
She went straight into doing loads of stuff. Julianne's, she's a different animal when it comes to her athleticism and stuff to me. But if I needed to call on her, I know she'll be there. She's actually going to be a bridesmaid for my wedding next year. So the conversations have more been around the hen party than retirement, to be honest. That's the priority at the moment. But yeah, look, I am someone who will keep themselves busy, hopefully. Obviously, I haven't played for the Irish team for a long time now, so as much as P-Mount is a professional setup in the League of Ireland, asks for a lot of commitment, at the end of the day, it was a hobby as well, and it was just something that I love to do. So the biggest thing for me now is to find a healthy social outlet, it's because it's so easy to go training 3 times a week and a match the weekend. You're automatically meeting up with your friends, and I think that's probably the thing I'll be most conscious of, is to not become a recluse in ways, because that it was just it's so helpful for that, and people always talk about the benefits and the playing at a high level and all that sort of stuff, but for me a very important part of it was what it gave me socially and the friendships and stuff. So a means of continuing them, I'm going to have to get a bit more creative on that side of things, and it's something that is more at the forefront of my mind than playing competitive football again or anything like that.
Do you think Camogie will step into a bigger role for you now that you've retired from football?
Yeah, I think I owe it to Pilltown. They've been so supportive of me over the years. They've allowed me to just kind of focus on the soccer and come back when I'm available. And I probably haven't done myself justice or given them enough over the years, as much as I would have liked. So as much as I can play, and if I'm fit and healthy, hopefully I can focus a bit more. I don't live in Kilkenny, I live in Dublin, so it's still a bit of difficulty in terms of getting down to training, but hopefully it would open up a bit more of free time to do that and have a bit more commitment and play a bit better than I did it this weekend anyway, that's for sure.
When you talk about, obviously, the social aspect of sport and kind of finding that outlet, imperative to you that it is in soccer, or does it like a, or in camogie, or could it be in anything really?
Yeah, I think it can be in anything. I'm looking to try and steer myself away from jumping headfirst into something overly competitive again. So it can be anything. You know, I grew up playing loads of different sports, so it's been 20 years since I've tried my hand at some of them. But maybe I'll dip back into that. And again, it's just with a view of that social outlet for me. I do think it will be within sports in some way, because that's what I know, that's what I love. Just not sure yet. Need to take a few weeks just to give the body a rest and give the mind a rest. But yeah, I'll certainly be looking for something to do after that.
So what you're saying is if they came to you with the opportunity to play inter-county camogie for Kilkenny, you'd turn them down,
Oh,
would
that's a
you?
definite no. Yeah. Well, firstly, they wouldn't. Again, reiterating the performance at the weekend. But no, there's a lot of younger girls. Like, a big part of retiring is acknowledging that I am 34, going on 35 soon enough. There's a life outside of sport that I need to explore and never have. You know, like you say, I've been in the league for 15 years. It's been the biggest kind of drain on time. I wouldn't say drain, like it's been the most time consuming part of my life. And obviously I've had to make sacrifices to do that, and it's been worth my while because I've loved it. But yeah, there's other areas of my life that probably need focus and attention now, and give back to all the family and friends who've supported me over the years.
I know obviously you went to school in Carrick and Shore. Would you consider taking up cycling or anything, obviously knowing the history of it in that town?
No, I cycle to work 3 times a week, and honestly, the 5K, when there's a bit of a breeze there, it's not for me. I'd be cursing myself the amount of times I've considered getting an electric bike in the last 2 weeks. When I was playing the soccer and the camogie together, and the body was creaking, I was like on the bike to work scheme website there, just seeing what story with electric bikes. So no, again, that's just another thing that I use to get me from A to B in Dublin. So I was looking for something a little bit less grueling, a little bit more
Yeah.
fun, maybe.
I want to bring it back to the end of this league campaign for you. What a game to finish on, I suppose, from a neutral standpoint, that 3-3. But for you, when you came out at the end of the season, was that kind of almost a kind of a symbolic idea of how you, P-Men's season kind of went, you know, ahead of for the majority of the time of a game, and then all of a sudden it's back to level pegging?
Yeah, I think it hit the nail on the head. I think it epitomized my career. It was chaos. You know, we actually went 3-1 up when we weren't playing brilliantly, and then we started to play a bit well, and then our goalkeeper got sent off and they were scoring bicycle kicks. It was chaotic. And yeah, symbolic of the season. I think from the outside in, you're looking at P-Men season, you're saying that was really disappointing. But if you looked at some of the performances at the start of the year, I think back to the first game of the season against Wexford, where we dominated possession. They scored from a set piece. Similarly, we went to shells and we played really, really well. And then a penalty was given against us in the latter stages of the matches. And when we're essentially a new team, new management team coming in after a really long time under James O'Callaghan, it's really hard to change. And they were the moments we needed to kind of springboard our season. And it took some getting used to the panel took getting used to the management and vice versa. But then the latter part of the season, I think we got something like 7 out of 8 wins, and obviously we ended on a draw at the end, but we started to get the results that we felt we deserved. And I'm hoping that they're going to carry that through now into next season, because there's a really good group of girls there. But like you say, in the league now, there's such a high turnover of players because there's money. It comes down to who can offer people what, and you wouldn't blame anyone for going for it when you can make something out of it. I'm hoping that things kind of settle for Piemont now, and that they start the season the way they finished. But yeah, hopefully it remains to be seen. I just think there's always such a high turnover, you can't really tell what's going to happen next unless you're Athlone, who seem to be going from strength to strength. And some of the rumours you're hearing of the players they're going to sign this off season, it's going to be very, very hard to keep up with Athlone unless other teams come in with the investment that they seem to be doing.
Do you worry, I suppose, a little bit about obviously Athlone kind of ploughing on ahead and almost creating that massive gap in the way that maybe we look at, say, I suppose, Celtic in Scotland or whatever, and you kind of look at that massive gap between where it's one team winning the league year in, year out. Do you worry that that'll happen here if Athlone continue to press on and there isn't enough investment in the other teams to kind of compete with them?
Yeah, I think that's inevitable in anything. But I think that's, again, when we look back to the league structure and how things are at the moment. You know, there was a lot of talk about Shamrock Rovers when they came into the league, and all their pillaging teams, and they're doing this, that, and the other. But they tried to do it in the right way, and obviously Piemont were a team that were affected, but they tried to do it in the right way. You know, they had professional contracts. They were, you know, trying to bring that professionalism to the league, whereas across the board now, a lot. of the deals that are being done. They're kind of under the table stuff. So if everyone was made to become a professional team and get up to that level that Shamrock Rovers have now brought, it might bring a little bit more parity because there'd be more transparency about what's going on. Now, that's still going on in the men's game, so I think that we're a long way off even getting to that point. There's still payments happening that aren't, above on the books, we'll say. But yeah, I think we can't complain about it either because we're always asking people to invest in the women. If Athlone are investing in the women, then fair play to them. That's what has to be done to bring success. And they're probably now, having had a bit of dominance domestically, going to look at going a bit further in Europe. And you're going to have to bring in players to do that. And it would be great for Ireland to see a team going further than that. I just hope that a few teams at least can keep up with them, the likes of Shells, Rovers. It'd be hard for a team like Peamount, who have no men's team, to generate that kind of, income to invest into it, unless outside investors came in. But yeah, I find it hard to kind of reason with it, because on one half I'm like, how is it fair? But on the other half, you have to drive standards. There always has to be a standard setter, and at the moment Athlone are very much that standard setter. They've maybe six or seven girls who aren't Irish nationals, and that just shows the ambition they have. They've gone out, they've scouted these really, really good players, and they're making an impact. And whether that's good for the game, bad for the game, I'm not sure. It's part of the game. But if that is going to be the case and that happens in our league, we do need to look at the other kind of domestic stuff, and how I harp on about it all the time, getting an under 23 Irish team and having a home-based development squad there, and really trying to feed into that if we possibly can. But it all comes down to funds at the end of the day, and how we manage that is going to be really, really tricky. I don't know.
Is that new development league that seems to be coming in for a third tier almost with the under-20s teams going up against, say, CK United and all that? Is that a step in the right direction?
I find it hard to know if that's a step in the right direction, because I would say the average age of our league is about 21, So is it going to cause a drain on certain amount of players, or is it going to just give us a bigger pool of that age group? It's going to be really interesting to see how that works. I'd still love to see an Irish development squad maybe born out of that league somehow, that can feed into the national team. I think that's where there's a gap. But yeah, I'm on the fence about that at the moment, because I was by far and away the oldest on the team. Like, anyone who was 24 or older on our team was considered old. Everyone's playing up their age groups. If 17-year-old is good enough, they're playing Women's National League now. So yeah, it'll just be interesting. I'm not sure. It's kind of one that we'll have to see kind of long term if that was the right way to go about it, but they were given the funding to do it, so at least they're making use of the funding in some way. It's just whether that would have been better redirected to development squads, or making an under 15 squad, or under 15 league, where you're getting more time with players at an earlier age and you're developing those technical skills, whether that would be better in use of investment. I'm not to say. I'm sure that there's people who've done the research, who've, well, we hope there has, who know what's to come with that. But I think that's really a watch this space one. I'm leaning towards skeptical on it, but that's just the cynic in me, I guess, because I'm just looking at these girls who are already training 5 nights a week. These girls want to be professional. They're all in their only early 20s. I'd just be worried. I just don't know, have we enough players to facilitate it?
When you look at obviously yourself retiring and then alongside that, almost sort of simultaneously, a load of other players decide to retire at the same time. Kylie Murphy, obviously Áine O'Gorman, and then alongside that in Wexford, there was Nicholas Innes and Rhianna Jarrett. Like, is there a, I suppose, a lack of experience now in the league, do you think, for sides like that, especially at the latter end? Are we seeing the end of an era of League of Ireland and kind of almost shifting into something new and different?
Yeah, I think so. I think Shells obviously still have a few mainstays that were there at the beginning, but like I say, the landscape is shifting anyway. We were, apart from like that stint that we went to UCD, which is all a bit bonkers, I've spoken about that before, we're kind of one team players now, and that's not going to be the case anymore. Again, it's going to be about who's doing well, what teams can offer, how they start to keep up with each other. It's not going to be the way it was when we first started the league, and it was to do with it being your club and your local club and having that affiliation to it. Like, that mindset is gone, so there will be a gap, and we won't see as many players, I don't think, doing that. But on the other side, then it's about making it more competitive and bringing through those younger players. And it's going to be different because those younger players all want to go somewhere else at the moment, and they all want to go professional. So it's just a different mindset. And like I say, it's not a better or worse or anything. It's just a different landscape. And I think it'll continue to evolve, it'll continue to change, and it'll all depend on, I guess, how the national team grows as well. And unfortunately, we're at the mercy of them and who's in charge there and how they're supported and how we're recruiting players and bringing them up to speed quick enough to get us to major tournaments.
You mentioned obviously a lot of the players that would have come around during your time would have stayed as One Cup players outside maybe that UCD move. You know, is there a team for you that you would have wanted to have played with during your time if you could go back and do it now, or is P-Mench just consistently the team you would have wanted to have stayed with the entire time?
No, to be honest, like I regretted leaving, and I had a great time at UCD because all my friends came as well. Like it was just a bonkers thing where we all left, because Eileen Gleeson, she was moved along, and we just followed her, because she was obviously such a huge part of us all joining Piemont originally. But no, in terms of what I wanted from football, and like I say, that social element, the almost the GAA feeling that you get from a local club like Piemont, that was what I found motivating. That was what I wanted from a football club at that time, particularly when I was finishing up with Ireland. So no, definitely there's no other team. Like I'm delighted that Waterford obviously have come in the league, because that gives local interest for me, because I would have played in the Waterford league growing up. And it's great to see, Gary, who I would have known from Tramore, involved there. And it's not easy to come into a league and trying to get up to speed, and he's a lot of young players. But like, in terms of local interest, I had that and maybe Kilkenny there for a while, but no, I wouldn't have liked to have played for anyone else, no.
I'm glad you mentioned Waterford though, because the last time we spoke obviously was before the season had started, and you were talking about how that fixture was going to be an interesting one just for yourself personally. But to have gone down and then not only to have played in the game, but then to have scored the only goal in the game as well, that must have been a special feeling.
Yeah, it was, because my family had come out to watch it, and a few other people that I knew were there. It was actually a really tough game, and we played them later in the season, and it wasn't as tough a game. And I think, they're, like I said, a very young squad, and it's hard to keep up momentum of the season when you're losing a lot of games. But you just have to take that on board. You take it on the chin, and you use that as experience to grow. And they have that experience of a league behind them. I'm sure the management team will have learned a lot. Like they'll do some more recruiting, I'm sure, in the off season and develop more players, and they've got more experience now. So yeah, really, really wishing them the best, because it's a great place to go down and play football. Like the sun was scorching that day, the pitch was perfect, the setup, the dressing rooms. Like I have to say, like the dressing rooms especially, you go into the bathroom, all the sanitary products are there. It's so well laid out. It was well thought of. You felt looked after when you went down there, so I have to give them huge credit for that. The facilities that obviously the men's team are sharing with the women's team, that's an important step. But not only that, to go the extra step and acknowledge and put these little things in place, they do make a difference.
Absolutely. I mean, Waterford's, I know you spoke about it being a special place in your heart, but to have, I suppose you would have grown up at the time when the Waterford men's team were playing as well down there, Waterford United, you know, is it different stage for you, I suppose, going out on the pitch and seeing all of those Waterford jerseys there in such a game and not being kind of almost having to distance yourself from realizing, oh, I'm not on the sidelines anymore. I'm actually seeing Waterford jerseys in the stand. I mean, even just from an outsider perspective, and I know obviously you mentioned, you know, that you would move away from Piemont, but having seen the team that maybe you grew up with now in the league that you play in must feel special.
Yeah, like I said, I was absolutely delighted to see them come in, and I'd love to for there to be longevity in that, because Kilkenny were in the league before, but there weren't a Waterford United. You look at the men's team, and the stadium is packed for those home games, and the away support is amazing. There's great tradition of soccer in Waterford, a very proud tradition, and it was always a very, very strong league. It turned out some really, really good players over the years, and yeah, it's a special place. I hope that they continue to back the women's team, because the people down there love it, and the people down there deserve to have a couple of teams to follow. Obviously, it's always up and down with the men's team. It's probably going to be a bit of the same with the women, but it's that whole can't see it, can't be a thing. The amount of young girls that came out to that match that we played against, and all the ball girls that were there, I think it was Tramore on the day, but it's brilliant, and the interest is there. If you can just kind of generate the optics and show people the path, that's where they're, and hopefully try and keep a few of the local girls in the Waterford setup, as opposed to them heading off to Rovers and the Dublin teams too early. You know, you'd like to keep them there for the underage at least. But yeah, I'm backing them hugely, and I'm wishing them all the best going forward.
I think even just looking at their final game of the season when they played Treaty and they had this guard of honour for the Benfica team that obviously would have played back in the late in the early 1990s to show the progression of, I suppose, Waterford football. It kind of, I think it shows that there was a massive yearning for a women's team again in Waterford, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Like when I was growing up, Benfica was the big team that I knew, and then Tramore came in as that. You know, Benfica went off playing the Wexford League because we were like, wow, they're so good. They had to go and play in the Wexford League. So yeah, the talent has always been there. It's just again to give it the pathway that it deserves, and Waterford United are doing that now. Their underage has been strong. You know, it's been strong for a while, so it's encouraging that they've done this now. I think it's kind of the right time for them to come in when they have that pathway in place and they've got a strong underage structure. And you know, like they're quite close to Wexford, but you know, there's enough of a pool of talent. And if I'm looking at the facilities and the RSE, and if there's certain backing there, I think it's an exciting place to be. And like you say, they acknowledge what's gone before them, there's proud football and past, and hopefully a proud future for them too.
How do you find the coverage of the league has gone? I suppose, obviously, with the introduction of LOI TV, there's more games being shown. But in your own opinion, obviously, as a player who would have seen press coverage of the league from 2011 onwards, do you think it's gotten better or do you think it still has a long way to go?
Yeah, I think it's gotten better. I think that, you know, clubs are supplying their own commentators and stuff for LOI TV, and you know, everyone's doing their bit. TG Carr in particular, when they do it really, really well. I'd love to see more eyes on the game. I'd love to see something like a weekend highlights package and a bit of analysis done on that, because I think a few people do podcasts, but sometimes I think they just look at the results a little bit and they make assumptions about the games based on that. So something like a highlights package, even if it's done on a YouTube channel, again, those small little things, they make a difference. They get more eyes on the game. People love kind of, it's like on your phone now, you love bite-sized things. So I think that would be a really, really good thing to do, and having more reporting on the games, unbiased reporting and stuff like that, I think it all makes a huge difference. But it's come on a huge amount from when it first started. When it first started, you remember seeing Stephanie Roach's goal that obviously got nominated for a Puskás Award, but that was only because like John down in Wexford agreed to put up the camcorder for that day. Whereas now we've got proper setups, we've got, you know, the cameras in place, and you can go on LOI TV, and it's good quality imagery. So I definitely won't complain. I always think that there's more you can do. Small little ideas, social media stuff that would be very helpful, but it's certainly improved tenfold from where it started. And I think that's across the board. I think from 2017 on, there's been a huge rise. And then obviously the girls getting to the World Cup, all of those international games being shown on RT is brilliant. That was a huge step. And then you've got LOI TV, which is, it's a really good thing. You want to see more matches on TG Carr because it's brilliant when they are. It gives people motivation and stuff. But yeah, more is better. So hopefully
Do
that's to come.
you think we'll hear you on some of the LOI TV coverage for PMount next season?
I'm not sure about that. Max and Avril were doing a great job this year, so I don't know if I'd be able to keep my unbiased opinions in on a PMount scale, but maybe that's a way that I can use to stay involved a little bit and keep touch with everyone down there. Yeah, we'll see.
I think the PMount commentary is unmatched because every time I hear it, the energy coming out of it is unbelievable, isn't
It's unbelievable, but it was also very
it?
biased. So I don't know how the neutral feels about it. We enjoy it because obviously it captures exactly how we're feeling when we're playing or when we're watching. But from a neutral standpoint, I'm sure people have a few opinions.
Absolutely. Finally, I want to ask, I know you've obviously people who don't, well, probably know you from the pitch, but will also know you for punditry as well. Is that something that you're looking to keep going now into the future? Even we talk about trying to raise the level of the game, both in coverage wise and on the pitch. But now that you're off the pitch, is that sort of angle of doing it in the media what you'll be aiming to do?
To be honest, I never really had any ambitions on that front. It was kind of something that came to me when I retired from Ireland around 2019, and something that was very out of my comfort zone because I would be quite a shy person in everyday life. But it was something that I enjoyed, and if opportunities come my way, I'll certainly consider them. But it's not something that I'll I'd be seeking, you know. I enjoy what I do now, but I also have a day job and, you know, and hobbies and things outside of that. But yeah, it's something I love. Just because it keeps me like it keeps me in touch with it, you know. It's like soccer. I wouldn't have given it 15 years of my life if I didn't love it. I still love it. So, anything that's gonna keep me in touch with it, I'll certainly consider.
Absolutely. Karen Duggan, well, an absolutely monumental career, and hopefully we'll be seeing even more of you in the future. Thank you so much for joining me.
No problem at all.